morning again. Glad to see all of you here this morning. We're continuing in John. We're going to start John chapter 10 this morning. John 10, 1 through 10. First 10 verses of chapter 10. Security guards. Anybody ever been one in here? Work security somewhere? Thinking of security guards, yeah. Look like a tough security guard.
In the Army.
In the Army, there you go. Ultimate security for our country. I was thinking of security guards. They keep you, try to keep you safe, keep people out that aren't supposed to be in. I do visitations around the hospitals, and I walked into one several weeks ago now in the emergency department, and they had the metal detectors and scanners and things up. Wasn't up the last time I was there, I don't think. But I'm in and out of that hospital all the time. And I think I was basically born with a pocket knife, but I've always got one on me. So I'm going in and going through the metal detectors, and I'm standing there with the guards, and they go, "You got a knife in your pocket?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do." They're like, "Well, you can't bring that in." Okay, that kind of broke my logical brain, because I'm in the hospital all the time with the knife in my pocket, and now I can't have it. But you understand why they're there. They're trying to protect, keep them safer, whatever the reason is. We know security at other places, if you're trying to go to a concert or a sporting event, there are long lines because everybody's funneling through the one door that's checking the lady with the oversized purse in front of the sign that says, "Please don't bring your purse," that kind of thing. But they're trying to keep us safe. Only one way in, past them. That's our focus this morning as Jesus continues to point out that he is the way, the only way. And we're going to look at it in three parts today in John chapter 10, 1 through 10. The sheep and the shepherd, the sheep in the door, and the thief. John 10, 1 through 10. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your holy word. Help us lean in together into your word for us here in John chapter 10. Help us lean in and lean into one another. And help us feel your words this morning and take them with us as we leave. In Jesus' name I pray. So last week we concluded our look at the blind man. We looked at him over a few weeks. He was kind of the dividing line in our scripture from him Jesus teaching into the temple into what we're going to see now with the shepherd and the door and the good shepherd and the death of Lazarus and the anointing by Mary. And we're on this downhill trek to the triumphal entry in the cross here in the book of John. The blind man once was blind but now can see because of Jesus. That's what we looked at, and it left these people considering just who Jesus is. And we said the miracle was both a physical one, he can now actually see, but it was also spiritual healing. Spiritual blindness is the more urgent issue as we were looking at it. Can we see who we are and who Jesus is? Do we have the eyes to see? Do we believe? Well, today we begin in chapter 10, which includes some very interesting and very important statements from Jesus here. We're basically seeing a continuation of Jesus speaking and teaching, but the topic has changed a little. The heading of chapter 10 in your book is, I am the Good Shepherd, and we're going to get to that next week. But our text this morning is him being the shepherd of the sheep and the door. So let's dive in here. The sheep and the shepherd. We start this morning with this phrase, truly, truly. It's said twice, and we've been here before. This is basically listen up. This is urgent. This is important. Jesus says pay attention. Pay attention to what? He who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. So let's start with the concept of the sheepfold. In your handouts this morning, you have a picture of a traditional sheepfold that would be out in the field somewhere. So it's of stone and has a door to get in and out. They would be something like fenced or stone walls, or maybe your version doesn't say sheepfold. Maybe it says courtyard, and courtyard gives us the feeling of the opening, open air to the sky inside the buildings. You have a courtyard area, so it's open to the sky, fences, walls, whatever it is. Sheepfold telling us it's where the sheep gather. That's what it's telling us. The door is how you get into the courtyard or the sheepfold, and our text furthers that concept by saying the other way, any other way in, any other access in makes you a thief or a robber. There's only one real way in. Makes you uninvited, makes you a trespasser, a lawbreaker. That's what thieves and robbers are. That's what we're supposed to be drawn to. In our context and culture in the text, it would be among the lowest people in society here, thieves and robbers, taking advantage of someone in that way. So, not through the door, then don't belong. That's where he wants us. That's what he wants us to see. But through the door, and you are the shepherd. You belong, the gatekeeper or doorkeeper lets him in. So we see a contrast here already. There are those who belong in this courtyard, this sheepfold, and there are those who do not. With that in mind, look at the next verse, verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Who belongs in the courtyard, this sheepfold? It is the owner or shepherd, and it is the sheep, his sheep. And that's another contrast here, because it's between knowing his voice or not, being his sheep or not. Is he known to you, or is he a stranger? And there's two things to see here. The first is that the shepherd is known to the sheep, and the sheep are known to the shepherd. Maybe our question is why we're talking about sheep to begin with. And it's because the sheep language is used throughout the Bible. Psalm 23, verse 1, one of our favorites, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jeremiah 50, verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. From mountain to hill they have gone, they have forgotten their fold. Matthew 9, 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord God is our shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. And our text this morning says, we know the shepherd. We know his voice or we do not. Like a stranger that we would not recognize or follow. Now this concept growing up for me was called stranger danger, right? That's what they taught in schools. I think it's what Arnold Schwarzenegger taught in Kindergarten Cop. And one of those kids in that scene saying, stranger, stranger, whatever that was. A stranger is someone you do not recognize, you don't know their voice, you do not trust. And we have some people in our lives that we say have met no strangers, right? They walk into the room, they don't know anyone in the room. When they leave, they know everyone in the room. We know people like that. Some of us have only met strangers, it seems, because we keep to ourselves so much. Very few people that we know, and maybe we like it that way. The question is, if you would let a stranger into your house, would you do that? You don't know who they are, you don't know why they are there. Do you let them in? The stranger in our text is correlated with the thief or the robber. And that sounds like the same word, but there's a different connotation here. The thief is more sneaky, never knew they were there, and the robber is more by force. They force their way in. You don't know the who, you don't know the why, but you let them in their house anyway. No, I don't think so, right? That's the contrast. Is that Jesus to us? Do we know him? Or is he the unknown stranger? The other thing is to see here is that there's a specific group of sheep. This is a shepherd's courtyard, a shepherd's sheepfold. This is a specific place for a specific group. It is for the sheep that hear and know his voice. That's who he calls out. Next week, we will see Jesus say that he has sheep not in this fold, meaning his sheep are everywhere, but a specific group who hear him and call him their shepherd. Do we understand this? Jesus has a specific people he calls out to. It's those who hear his voice and know him. I think we sort of move through this life like we don't understand this. I think we sort of move through this life like we think everyone is going to be okay. We sort of do our day-to-day activities like it doesn't matter who we belong to or who we follow or who our shepherd is, who the shepherd is for those around us. It doesn't really matter. I don't think we pause here quite long enough. Some, or maybe most, is the more accurate number because we stand in a country, Annie Armstrong, North American Missions. Our country, the estimate is there's something like 280 million people that are lost. Just think about that number in our own country. So some, or maybe most, at the end of their life here, or when the end of all things comes, we know that's one of those two things is going to happen in our lifetime. It is either death or Jesus returns, right? Some or most are not going to be found to be following Jesus as their shepherd. 280 million people currently. Some or most are not going to be allowed into the courtyard of the Son of God. Some or most are going to be found to be strangers. That's the world we live in. Jesus here is in the middle of letting these people know and letting us know just who he is and why he came. That's what he's doing in this section in John. Last week it was for judgment. He said he came for judgment. We read and looked at that. And it was so the blind could see and those who arrogantly claim that they can see without him so they could become blind. This week it's like an owner or shepherd of a courtyard and his sheep. Jesus has been saying that he is the Son of Man lifted up for our sins. His cross will be for our sins. Jesus has been saying that he is the Son of God and light of the world and is the healer of the blind. And in our first section this morning, he's the shepherd we long for. He's the owner of the courtyard. He is who we need. No other way in. We must know him, and we must hear his voice, and we must not be strangers. Who is our shepherd? And today it is many things, right? That piece of technology in your pocket, it has a large, large flock. So does that new TV show, so does that news channel, so does that sport. So does that newest cultural trend that is merely sin wrapped up to be cool. There's always something new treated like that. The thief and the robber are shepherds of many, and so is unrepentant sin. The question is, who is our shepherd? Who or what do we follow at all costs? And it may hurt to think about. But we must let our mind go there. It is that important. Who is our shepherd? Do we hear and know Jesus? Do we even know how to enter his courtyard? Well, he takes us there. The sheep in the door. And maybe that first section was a little confusing. There's a lot of terms there. Sheep and shepherd and courtyard, sheepfold, gatekeeper, gate, door, thieves, robbers. There's a lot of things in that first section. It was confusing to our audience in our text. It's described as a figure of speech that they did not understand. So Jesus left them. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Here's what it says, verse 7. Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." So Jesus here doesn't leave. He doesn't walk away with their confusion. He finds another way of explaining who he is and just what he came for. He's still a sheep in the shepherd concept partly. We're going to see more of that next week. Partly because it's all throughout the Bible, and partly because his culture, though confused in the moment, understands shepherding. They do. We don't really understand shepherding. Anybody second, third generation shepherds in here? I don't think so. Maybe you have experience with sheep, or maybe it's cattle or farming in some way like that, but it's not shepherding. Shepherding is herding. It is guiding, it is tending, but it's also protecting. And it's not protecting like with gates or fences or dogs. It's not protecting like with rifles or shotguns. It's protecting like your life for theirs. That's shepherding. You're standing in between the coyotes or the wolves or even the lions, like with King David when he was a shepherd boy. If your sheepfold has a doorway with a door, like in your picture in your handouts, if it doesn't have a door, you lay in the doorway. You are now the door. That's the context in which Jesus was going to call himself the door in a few moments. The shepherd in control, the shepherd in between them and what wants them, and the sheep absolutely need him. He also changes it a bit here too about what he's saying. What's the difference here? Where there are a couple. We see the thieves and robbers are back, but now it's not they're there to steal something, but that all who came before Jesus were thieves and robbers. Now, I think we can agree that Jesus uses words in a way that we never could. That should be obvious to us because he is the very Word of God, right? So he has that kind of power. But he gives us an example here. All who came before him were thieves and robbers. This means two things at once. All who claim to be the Messiah before Jesus came are thieves because they seek to steal your true faith from you. They were not the shepherd, though they claim to be. They were not the door. It is the same for those who stand before him currently. So there's the second use. It's the people that are before him. They're standing with him. They're in front of him right now. So were before and are standing before him. All who seek to lead away from Jesus are thieves and robbers. Previous claim messiahs or future claim messiahs, and those leaders who claim anything else but him, those leaders he's speaking to, some of them right now. It's important to note that although there were those who pointed in other directions, shouted false claims, the sheep did not listen. That's what it tells us in this passage. Verse 8 says, the sheep did not listen to them. Meaning the sheep of Jesus will always be his. We're always set aside for him. We're only ever going to hear his voice. They're his. Also meaning there are others who did not hear and strayed away, followed other paths, other teachings rang true for them. 280 million in our country. So imperative that we share this message that we hold dear. Jesus is our Savior and only way to heaven. We must trust and follow and lean into Him. Everyone needs to hear that. Everyone needs to be called out to with the gospel because His sheep need to hear Him. Who are His sheep? All who turn and come to Him. All who use Him as the door. All who believe. Jesus was the shepherd to be heard and followed. And He is again here, always our shepherd, but He's also now the door. That's what He calls Himself. Our first section, the shepherd entered through the door of the courtyard and called His sheep to Him. And now the shepherd is the door. Verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. This is the third I am statement. We've been looking at these here. We've had I am the bread of life. We've had I am the light of the world. Now we are to I am the door of the sheep. There are seven of these that are unique to the book of John. We're going to get immediately to number 4 next week. I am the good shepherd. What his statements mean are that we both need him like sheep need a shepherd. And we need to go through him like a door. For what? What is through the door? Verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So what Jesus says is that in the same way that the sheep can only enter and exit the courtyard, we too can only enter salvation through him, the door. And this isn't unique to John chapter 10. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and there is one mediator that's go between God and men, that man Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In John 14:6, Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life, and their only way to the Father is through him. He is the only way. All other ways fall short. I feel like screaming that in the day we live in which tells us that all ways are good for you. That's the stance today. All desires lift you up. Lean into all things and you'll be okay. That's evil and wicked and is a temporary insanity that's trying to erase your eternal joy. It can only be one way. And that one way was never our way. It's why we needed the Son of God, His cross for our sins, His cross for the ways we were trying to choose, His suffering to cover our insanity. The insanity that states we're somehow more than God. That's That's what we're saying. We wouldn't say that, but that's what we're saying when we turn from Him. Our way's better. Our way's greater. No, only one way. Did I say that yet? Only one way. It would be like if I brought in a giant red button. I set it right down front here. Decorators would get mad at me because red doesn't go today. It's blue and white, but I'm going to bring in this giant red button. There's instructions, piece of paper laying right in front of it. Push the big button and win. And I wouldn't even have to tell you guys that. I wouldn't even have to mention the button because that's our mindset. If we see big button, we're going to push big button, right? We just touch and we push things. That's what we do. Good then. You've won. You push the button. What if someone just came and stared at the button? Or maybe someone just came and grabbed it and packed around the button. I'm not going to follow the directions, but I'll keep it with me. What if someone brought their own button? Different color, different size. Maybe it's a switch now. Maybe it's some sort of crank. It's something different instead of a button. What about all these other scenarios? Do they win too? No. The piece of paper in front of the button says, push this and win. And that's the gospel. That's Jesus. He is the only way. Your way doesn't cut it. Your addition to or subtraction from what He says doesn't cut it. It is through Him and Him alone. But our current generation or culture is blind to it or is deaf to it or is too stubborn for it. And it's even worse than it seems because Jesus isn't asking you to push the button. He's only asking you to believe that He pushed it for you. And with eternity at stake, that's what we're talking about here. And with our lives lived on our hearts and our minds in this moment, we have to ask ourselves, who is Jesus to you? Savior? Shepherd? Door? Have you walked through the door? The most important door you will ever see. That's what Jesus' sacrifice was for us. Simply put, have you believed? Let's turn our attention to the thief. Verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So the thief here, we've been looking at thieves and robbers versus the true shepherd here. Thieves and robbers look to steal and kill the sheep for themselves. That's what they want. They want to get into the courtyard, grab the sheep, eat it or sell it or whatever they want to do with it. The shepherd stands at the door to protect the sheep. The life of the sheep is the shepherd's job. We've seen this throughout this section. But there's also a difference to see in this verse here. The thief is now singular. And it is because it's summarizing all thieves who look to harm you, and it is something more. We know a singular thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We've met him already in John. We were there in John chapter 8. You are of your father the devil. That's Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character because he is a liar and the father of lies. Maybe we're more familiar with 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 John 3:8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And we've been given these reasons here or there. Last week it was the reason the Son of God came was for judgment. And the reason the Son of God came is for your salvation. The reason the Son of God came was to destroy the works of the devil. Satan is not some fairy tale just to keep you in line. Satan is real and is the real ruler of this world currently. Now, us being good Christians, we know how to stay away from this evil. We just stay away from evil, right? Wicked things are from him, so don't do the wicked things. It's easy, right? Not so easy. And also, it's a bit more complicated than that. It's not just the plain to see evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. And what I'm doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that their boasted mission they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false prophets, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Satan, disguised as an angel of light. His followers, disguised as servants of righteousness, mimicking the apostles. One thing we do know about Satan is that he cannot be everywhere. He is not God. He's creation, not creator. We also know he doesn't have to be. Our nature and the nature of the world is to do the works of the devil. This is a gift from Adam. Everybody think Adam. These works are not as obvious as our depictions of so-called Satan with the red horns and the tail and the cape, but they are as easy as things like ignoring Scripture. Or maybe saying things like, that doesn't mean what it says, or that thing you want to do isn't as bad as you think it is. One time doesn't hurt. Two times doesn't hurt. What they don't know won't hurt. Or maybe it's things like, of course your job is important. Go ahead and prioritize it over all things. Of course, family is important, even more important than God. Of course, accepting all sin is important, for we all sin, right? These are the whispers you will hear. Disguised as light, as good. The devil and his servants, some ignorant to their service. They don't even know who they serve. They don't have to get you to abandon faith. They just have to get you to trust that your different faith is the same faith. To trust that things that feel good for you are good for you. Just whatever you feel. Spiritual warfare is real, and Satan is real, and his helpers and influencers are real, and hell is a real place that real people go for eternity. Steal, kill, and destroy is the warning. And can we see it in our life is the question. It makes this gathering important. Your sharpening here defends against following the false light of the world. It makes prayer and this book important. The Word of God wouldn't call itself a sword if you didn't need it. Lean in and protect against the thief. That's enough of the thief. Time for the other side of the coin. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. What a contrast. Abundant life versus killed and destroyed. Which one do you want? Jesus says he came to give abundant life. And we hear abundant, we think good and prosperous and perfect here, but that's not the promise. That was never the promise. Actually, suffering is more of the promise. And it does not take away from the abundant life he offers. Because the abundant life he offers is well done, good and faithful servant here, and then eternal joy to come. Life will be full of struggles and rewards, full of suffering and love, then perfection forever. Hold on to that forever. He came to give this life to they. Who is the they? Well, The sheep who follow the shepherd and enter the door. That's the they. It is our I am statements in John. That's why they're so important. We would do well to remember them. John 6:35 says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. That's not here. You're going to thirst here. He's going to take care of you here. But rather, he speaks of eternity. John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. No darkness ever again. Think about that. And now today we're told to walk through the door of the sheep. I am the door. Come and follow and walk through and believe. This describes the Christian. Not perfect. Not ever perfect. We fall short every day and in every way. It's the reason he came. His life for ours while we were still walking away from him. Sinner saved, and the only difference is him in our lives, leading us into the pasture, and then occasionally having to lead us back into the pasture, and then back into the pasture again. Jesus doesn't say, be perfect or else you're gone, but rather says, he will leave the 99 for the one. That's our door and shepherd and Savior. That's our light of the world and bread of life. Do we live like those statements are true? We must walk this truth out in our lives because the they, again here, they, is not all people everywhere, and that hurts to hear. Because we all know someone who's not a part of this they. They're not currently walking as one of his flock. Have never entered the door, still live in darkness, embraced by it, and even like it. We must walk like our Savior has delivered us abundant life, and that's not to say perfect life here, but rather to say we'll be delivered through the struggles and through the sins and promised eternal life by the very one who died to offer it to us. We must walk it. Because others in our life need to see it. They need to hear it. Need to let go of their ways and turn toward the door and the shepherd and their Savior today. Steal, kill, and destroy, or life. That is the choice when you stand before the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you a sinner? Do you need a Savior? Jesus is that Savior who lived and died and defeated death for you. Face the thief who steals and kills and destroys. He faced him for you. While sinners, Christ died for us. Did he die for you? Then turn from the thief and toward the shepherd of the flock today. He calls out to you. He waits for you. And with that, we close this morning at the Lord's table together. We're going to do this every Sunday in March leading up to Easter when we celebrate the cross and then the empty tomb. In remembrance of who died for us. And Scripture says, do not approach the table in an unworthy manner. So that means if we're having a real sin issue currently, something is dragging us away from Jesus or something else in your life that's making you hesitant, then simply refrain from the table this morning. The decision's yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day together. We thank you for your holy word, the book of John, John chapter 10, all these truths that you've laid before us. And Father, we come to the ultimate truth this morning as we come to your table. You sacrificed yourself for us, lived the perfect life, died suffering on the cross, defeated the empty tomb. Defeated death for us. Father, help us this morning as we come to the bread and then the cup. Help us remember what this stands for. Help us always do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So you've got a little film on top for the bread, and then the whole top comes off for the juice. If you need extras, there's people who toss them around from the room from other places. Raise your hand. Somebody will get you one. The top comes off for the bread. 1 Corinthians 11 has Paul saying this to us, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take and eat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reminder of your body broken for us. Help us carry it further than just within these walls this morning. Help us leave this place remembering what was done for us. And in the same way the body was broken, we know your blood was spilled. Help us now as we lean into the cup to remember your blood for our salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul continues here in verse 25. In the same manner he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Take and drink. Jesus is the shepherd and the door, and all who enter are his sheep. As his flock, we remember his sacrifice here this morning and this moment together. And as his flock, we push out into the world. He has more sheep that need to hear his voice and follow him. Do we hear and follow? Will we push out to others to hear and follow today? There is an eternal destination for all. There is an enemy who wants to keep you for himself. Praise God that the enemy has no power over the shepherd or the flock and cannot get through the door. He who is greater, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. Let's live like that is true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this gathering this morning. We thank you that we can even come in and sit around your holy word and hear what you have for us. And Father, we thank you that we can come to your table in remembrance of what you've done for us. And Father, we pray now that in these final moments together, we can draw in close and worship your holy name and maybe cast off some sins in our life and be lifting up our needs to you and all these things. But Father, we pray it doesn't end here. Give us the courage and the strength to push outside these doors. Give us the courage and the strength to be your sheep and your flock in the world. Help us take your gospel everywhere. In Jesus' name I pray.